She had to watch, and it had to soften his feelings, because he was a spirit full of hardness, without pity. By giving him this work, his feelings were supposed to improve. Over time, this spirit managed to help with a certain love and compassion. So I was given an explanation for this too. Then I wanted to know what was bothering me so much, whether it had really been Saint Elizabeth. I was told, no, it was not Saint Elizabeth. And the others who given knew the answer in that way are earthbound spirits who are still tainted with a certain mischief and are happy about a being who is so ignorant and believes and accepts everything so easily. I was told that this spirit, who someone else had described to me as Saint Elizabeth, gave the impression that it was Saint Elizabeth with its clothing. Even when it went to the earthly realm, it pretended to be Saint Elizabeth wherever it was possible for a person to do so. I was further shown why that spirit had said that it had to go to Fritz so that he would not be afraid. I was also told about that. This spirit had to go to a person who was a night watchman. The man was really afraid of walking in the dark. He was a pious person and this spirit had the task of protecting him and getting him used to working and leading a person. So, everything that these spirits had told me was true, but they had not explained it to me in more detail. This was also true in the case of the boot and horse cleaner. Here, it was explained to me that the spirit in question had to go to an old man who was still laboriously doing a job by looking after a gentleman's boots and his horse. The spirit in question had to guide and strengthen this person so that he could still do his work. This was also true. I had not been told that all these spirit beings go to people. If they had explained it to me from the very beginning, I might have believed it. Well, the female spirit who had told me that she had to look after a sick mother also had to go to a person, to a nurse, as you call it, and had to give her the power of endurance, the power of joy, so that she could manage to look after the sick person. Now I understood it, and I said to those who were teaching me, I assume that you have assigned me a job too. Yes, they said. You can go with the sister who is looking after this sick mother, she will come back to you. You can stand next to her and watch everything as it happens. We will set you free here, we will release you from being held here and give you the opportunity to return to Earth. She wanted to take you with her, but it didn't work because you were bound to this place and couldn't escape. Now we'll release you and you can go with her. So she came, this sister, and she took me with her to my sick mother. She showed me how she gave the power of goodness, love and comfort to this person, the nurse of the sick, from within herself and with perseverance. So I went with her for a long time. Then someone came to me again and said, we have other things for you to do, you should also visit other people. While those spirits whose tasks we have explained to you in detail always go to the same person, are bound to the same person, so to speak, we are now giving you a certain amount of freedom. You can choose the people you like. But you should do to them what heaven requires. No passions or desires should be expressed, only heavenly goodness and love. You should convey heavenly work. If you are capable of doing this, then we will lead you to higher tasks again. So we will now give you freedom in this way. Seek them out, people. But do not think that you should only seek out good people and support them in their strength, it is precisely the others, the weak, who need spiritual help. You will have a lot to learn. I was left alone for a while, but I was very clumsy. I prayed a lot that God would help these people and that they would not do anything wrong. I saw that I was not alone, I saw the great struggle. I had now been given the opportunity to go among people, but there were also other, malicious spirits who came, and I did not like their proximity. So I avoided them and only took the opportunity to work where they were not. But I was soon taught otherwise and told, you must try to take up the fight against them. You must also, just like them, get into people, you must lead them away from lower thoughts, you must direct them to good thoughts, you must dispel their thoughts when they are in passions and desires or when they are studying things that are harmful to them. Dispel their thoughts, call to mind an image of the past that is to their advantage. Yes, I wanted to know whether I had the strength to do so. And they said to me, the stronger your will is to do this, the greater the possibility of success. So I only had to want it. The strength to make it happen would lie in wanting it. So I tried it. I took up the fight with people where I saw that evil spirits were around them. I penetrated the person just like they did, and there were often four or five of us. I was next to the evil ones. And I saw the persons past and with all my strength drew on those images that would be to their advantage. I said, "In God's name, let it be done and I will. Let it be done and I will." I reminded the person of loving events and loving deeds, and he suddenly thought back to those times or of something good. He himself did not know why, and the evil disappeared. I did not always succeed in achieving this, but I now knew what the reason was and what it was all about, how to fight for people and that you have to work and that it is primarily the people themselves who decide. If they are at least somewhat good-willed, then they are a good tool for us, but if people are without goodwill, if they are fickle and weak, then we do not succeed in influencing them very well. So I had gone through my time of purification. It was the practical experience, so to speak, that helped me to gain further insights. Then I met my mother and my sister again. They said to me, "Paula, we knew it. You have done a lot of things wrong in your life. We too had stumbled, we too had made many mistakes. But now we are faced with that task that is so important for all our brothers and sisters, that is so important for heaven. I wanted to know whether we would meet Christ if we were to do such pious work, because we had prayed to him so much. I was told that of course, if we did enough, we could meet him, we could see him and hear him speak. So I was full of zeal to do even more, because I wanted this to come true very soon. So I told you something about my impressions of the first time in the afterlife. You can ask our brother any questions. I say goodbye and wish each of you that a good spirit can fulfill his tasks for you well through your goodwill, through your devotion to the divine. Greetings from God. Joseph, dear brothers and sisters, I have already greeted you. Dear Joseph, why did that spirit being pretend to be Saint Elizabeth? She must have known that this was not true and that she was burdening herself with it. Joseph, it is like this. This being in question was pious in her life, did a lot of good and now believed that this piety must continue in heaven in this way. She could no longer do the same good as she had done as a human, but she believed that this was now enough. She had not proclaimed herself a saint herself. The others had said so because she was dressed in the same way as a human. In other words, she wore the same costume as a human. While this person in question had also done good things in her life, let's say, had achieved just as much as others in certain areas, she was still very backward in another area of development. So she came into this sphere, into this mass of spirit beings. You must not assume that their activities could continue like this, for I don't know how long, but they will be fetched by God's angels. They will be enlightened or banished until they come to a different mindset. But first this spirit is given a certain amount of freedom. There is a reason why some spirit beings can take the path to people, while others, like the soul that spoke to you at the beginning, are banished in the afterlife and cannot come to earth. Is this the explanation for the fact that spirit beings who claim to be great personalities speak through some mediums? Do they all come from such a sphere? Joseph, you know that different spirits are permitted to be with people. Spirits of deception can also approach them. God has given people reason and understanding, and one should check whether the spirits are from God and one will receive the answer. Spirit beings can come from the same sphere as this spirit who claimed to be a saint. You just have to, this spirit who make themselves known to a mediumistic person and who take on a particular name, let's say a certain personality, must be examined carefully. You have to examine what kind of information and statements they make, whether these are reasonable and correct or not. Because these spirits believe that they are part of the great family of God and that they work for it, they therefore believe that they have the right to pretend to be someone else in order to be heard by people. In the spirit world, this lying is not encouraged, but rather the truth of the spirit is sought. A good spirit accepts the respect that other spirit beings offer him, but he does not accept compliments from people. He is not interested in that. And when a spirit comes to people and adorns himself with special names or special addresses, that means that people should bow their heads before him. Do not believe that such a person is a high spirit. Because when one has grasped true piety in the spiritual world, one recognizes that only God, the Father and Creator, and Christ, the Redeemer, deserve honor. All spirits must give them honor, because God and Christ create the possibility for the other spirits to work. So I have the strength from God to be able to speak to you. So the honor belongs to God. I, of my own accord, am nothing if God does not give me the strength. Why should I accept thanks and compliments from you? They belong only to God. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Paula with an introduction and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Next case. April 6, 1960. Christoph chained to earthly wealth. When earthly wealth becomes a burden for the soul. Control spirit. God bless you. I am the control. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit that we have called upon is speaking to you again. You should listen carefully. He tells something about his life and tells mainly how he fared in the world beyond. God bless you this hour. God bless you, Christopher. God bless you. My name is Christoph. My dear friends, I have been asked to speak to you and I am trying to do so as well as I can. I am telling something about my life. I am only touching on the life I lived, but you can see from this that the life I lived had its consequences. Today, when I speak to you like this, I have of course come to further conclusions. In order to be able to tell you the story, I had to go back. I was helped, my memory of that past was refreshed. According to your calculations, I have been in the spiritual world for almost 80 years. I had a decent life, that is. I did not have to go through the world in poverty. I had a business. I traded in wood and coal. I had already taken over most of this business from my father. So it was not so difficult for me to build something up. The foundation stone had been laid, and I built on it, so to speak, and I was able to expand the business a little. In this respect, I had an advantage over many other people. I already had the foundation or a certain inheritance, while many others have nothing and have to build from nothing. In the spiritual world, I was then taught better about my life, and I realized that I had actually led a stingy life. With the knowledge I have gained up to now, this is obvious to me, but as a human being I was not aware of it. Perhaps the circumstances were to blame for this. At the time when I lived, people dealt with material goods differently. They were much more frugal than people today, as we can see. I had a preference for gold coins and I had collected some. Coins from different countries were my hobby horse. I had a good number of them. I had had special boxes made for this purpose, in which these gold coins could be placed according to their size so that they would not be damaged. I had several such boxes, because I had a good number of these gold coins. Yes, I took them out every evening and looked at them. So I chained myself to them. I then intended this collection for my eldest son, he was to inherit it. Well, I told you that I had been frugal and that I had even been accused of being stingy. I then had to say goodbye to this world. I should also mention that I had not led a particularly pious life. I believed in God, but I had absolutely no thoughts about the afterlife. I thought to myself, maybe it turns out, maybe you continue to exist in some form. Yes, I didn't worry about these things or study them so much. The main thing for me was the life of the moment. When I opened my eyes in the other world, I saw friends, relatives and my parents. They greeted me. Then a noble spirit came to me. He also greeted me and offered me a sack and said, "Look, Christoph, this is your treasure. This is the wealth you have acquired in human life." This sack was quite heavy. I couldn't open it myself, it was locked with a lock and I didn't have the key. This noble spirit told me that he would open the sack for me at the right moment. He put it over my arm and said, "Look, here is your wealth," and he went away again. My parents and relatives accompanied me part of the way to where I was now to live, and I was able to exchange a few words with them. They were actually very taciturn. My mother said to me, "Christoph, we are now accompanying you to your new home. You never had any idea in your life what would happen after death. There are three houses at your disposal. You can go into one or the other as you please. You can live where you like, here or there. You will find space, there is enough room for you. But you must not imagine that it would be like on Earth." My parents and relatives then said that they were not allowed to talk to me anymore, but that they would definitely be able to communicate with me again, and they said goodbye to me. I wanted to hold them back, but it happened so quickly, I could not hold them back. Then I stood there. It looked like a village and I had the feeling that winter was approaching. Everything was bare and I felt cold, there was nothing that was blooming or green, but it looked as if winter was coming. I saw these three houses, from which I had been told I could choose one. Well, I was a stranger, I didn't know anyone else, but I hoped that I might find someone. I had my sack on my arm and before I even wanted to enter one of these houses I had to think about it. They gave me a sack, what does that mean? It is supposed to be my wealth that I have collected in my earthly life, my wealth. My first thoughts as a newcomer to this new world were not about spiritual wealth, but I was still very much connected to earthly wealth. My first thought was therefore, in this sack I have my coins, my gold coins are in this sack. And I moved them carefully, because I thought it was a little careless that they had just put them in my sack. These gold coins were valuable, and they could easily get dented. You don't put such a precious object in a sack. But then I thought, yes, in this world they just don't have the same sense of care as people do in the earthly realm, and I excused it and thought, I'll carry this sack carefully so that the gold coins don't get damaged. It was heavy, and I thought, well, did I really have that many coins? But I imagined that my other wealth was also in this sack and that I could definitely buy something spiritual with this money. I went into the first house and found that it was very busy. There was so much talking, it was so loud, and I didn't particularly like the people who were here. I didn't meet anyone with a sack and I thought, yes, there weren't that many rich people, so that's understandable. But I saw many who limped or had some other kind of disability, there were so many things that actually made me think. Since I obviously didn't want to part with my sack, I looked for a place to sit. I saw large rooms where people were together in small and large groups and chatting. Then it occurred to me, yes, I don't have a cupboard where I could lock my sack away. Do I really have to carry it around with me all the time? I saw only empty walls. Then I asked someone, "Tell me, aren't there smaller rooms here and isn't there a cupboard?" They answered me, "Oh, God. What do you think? A cupboard, what do you need a cupboard for?" And I said, "Yes, you see, I have something here with me and I can't carry it around all the time." The other man now kicked the sack with his fists and feet and laughed, "Well, what do you have in there?" I became angry. While I was carrying the sack with me so carefully, the other man was groping around with it so carelessly. So I got no answer, and I though, that is exactly how people on earth behave, who are so uneducated, so rude. Then I looked around the house, I only wanted a cupboard, but I didn't see anything like that. Then I wanted to ask someone again, someone who was sitting so quietly in a corner and always looking at the same place. It was a woman. I gave her a little nudge and said, "Hey, can you tell me, is there a cupboard here, is there anything to keep here?" Then she answered me, "What do you want to keep? Be quiet, I have been looking for my child for a long time and can't find it. Can you tell me where my child is?" I replied, "No, I don't know you, and I don't know your child either." "Oh, then leave me alone. I'm waiting for my child, and I'm looking for my child." Then I thought, yes, where have I ended up here? She is looking for her child and, yes, I looked at all these beings, how they were dressed, and thought to myself, you have to change your clothes at some point, and you have to hang them up somewhere. Where do they put the things? Then I left the house and went into the other one. Here I asked again, and it seemed to me that people were a little more polite here, or I had turned to someone who was a little more talkative and a little more polite to me. I asked him, "Is there a cupboard here?" He answered, "What do you understand by a cupboard? What do you mean by that?" I said, "You see, I have brought a precious possession from the earthly realm, and I cannot always lug it around with me. Try lifting it, you will see how heavy it is. It is impossible for me to always carry it around." He tried to lift it and said, "Of course, brother, I also think that this is impossible. But are you looking for a wardrobe?" "Yes, a wardrobe." "Oh, I don't think there is a wardrobe here." Then I said, "Do you always have the same clothes on your body?" And he answered, "Of course, unfortunately we always have the same clothes on our body." "Well, don't we have to put on something better every now and then?" "You know," said the other, "you have to earn to wear better clothes, and here there is nothing to earn." Then I picked up my sack and said, "Here I have something, with it you could buy better clothes." Then he said, "What do you think you have in there?" And I answered, "I don't know exactly, but I assume it is my coins that I had collected, because this venerable man told me, 'Here is your wealth,' and my wealth that I left behind consisted mainly of gold coins." "Oh, you could be wrong. I don't trust this matter. I wouldn't be so sure whether they are really gold coins." Then I said, "Well, what do you think? I wasn't lighter when I was told, 'Your wealth is in here.' I have a feeling, it clinches like the coins, and I have my gold coins here." Then the other answered, "Let's hope that they are your gold coins. Perhaps I will see you again later, and then we can talk about it. But unfortunately I can't be of service to you. I know there is no cupboard here." Then I said, "Fine, then I'll just carry this sack around with me, because I couldn't leave it anywhere or entrust it to anyone. But I wanted to rest a little, and so I had to put this sack on my knees. I was afraid that someone might steal it from me. I was immediately observed, and someone came up to me, also hitting the sack with his fist. He said, 'What are you bringing with you? Go away with it, it's nothing you have here.' And I answered, 'You don't understand, it's my wealth. You must have been a poor person, you can't understand it and you don't want to begrudge me having such wealth.' He just mocked and laughed and walked away. Then suddenly something like a bell rang. It was a ringing sound, and I asked, 'What is that?' The person next to me answered, 'Yes, that's the sign that we have to gather.' 'Yes, gather for what and where?' 'I don't know, I haven't been here very long. Can you tell me what that means?' And he said, 'Yes, it's very simple, you'll probably hear it.' And then I actually heard a voice, and this call was even made in different languages, not just in the language I was speaking. It was said that we should now get up and leave the house, that we should gather in groups of 10 in front of the house. So I said to the man who was next to me, 'Do you think I have to go the two?' He replied, 'Yes, of course you can try to stay behind.' Then I thought, 'Good, I should go with these same people,' but I was not told anything about it. What am I supposed to do with my sack? I cannot always carry this burden with me, and I cannot hide it anywhere. Someone could find it and steal my wealth. So, I will stay here, I will see what happens to me." Good. It actually happened in a flash, and everything was emptied. The house was empty and I was sitting alone in my place with my sack. Then a group of good-looking people came hurrying towards me. They had, how should I put it, a big palm tree or palm branches with them. They swung them and there was like a whirlwind. That became unpleasant. I was already shivering, and it was getting so cold. When they came closer, they said to me, "What are you doing? Didn't you hear what you have to do?" I replied to them, "I have heard it, but I don't know if it concerns me too. I thought it didn't concern me. It concerns you like the others. Get out with you." So I dragged my sack with me and went outside the house. Now I had to count first. There were already 10 of them everywhere. Finally I found a group where there were not yet 10 of them, and I stood there. These well-dressed people only said in brief words what to do, and of course I knew, yes, that is a strict leadership. They hurried back and forth through the groups and looked to see whether there were really den everywhere. Then they gave instructions, direction straight ahead, always stay together in groups of 10, or, direction left, direction right or up, that was how they were divided. Then these groups were led and they had to move away from these three houses. You went to a meadow or a forest, or you were led to a building that looked like a temple. I was in a group that consisted of a remnant of 5. The others had already all left when 2 of these well-dressed beings came to us and led us. I didn't really dare to look at them, because they had such a severity about them. The branch they were carrying seemed to me like a kind of whip, although it wasn't a whip. But you were afraid of this branch, because you had the feeling that there might be some power in it or that these exalted ones could hit you with it and you would be hurt or it would cause you pain. So you were afraid and had to obey. But I had my sack and I wouldn't give it up. They saw that I had my sack, but acted as if it didn't interest them. They hadn't asked me to leave it or take it with me. I hadn't dared to ask for a cupboard either, but had dragged it along. That was very tiring, because we had actually been moving along at a good pace. I then carefully placed my sack on my back and walked slightly bent over. I could walk better that way. But the path didn't go straight for us, but rather up a steep slope. I thought about it and thought, so, of all people, I had to join them. Our path now goes up this steep slope, while the others, as I could see when I looked around, are all going straight. So it was doubly tiring for me. I looked around to see if I might have the opportunity to put my load down somewhere, but I didn't know whether I would come back the same way and find my sack again. And I thought, I don't know whether I'm not actually happy about this wealth that I'm carrying with me. I'd rather take the burden on myself. So I made it up this steep slope with the others. When we were at the top, we gathered ourselves together and I always held the sack close to me. Now we were spoken to about the meaning of life and about the mistakes of man, about the commandments of God, about salvation through Christ. Then I thought, was it really necessary that I was chased up this slope? Everything that is being said here could just as well have been said to us in this house. I had hardly thought about it when they took each individual separately and spoke to him very seriously. I thought, yes, this is perhaps the court now. Now they will judge you, but what can come of it? I don't find it so nice here. Yes, perhaps my coins will still be of benefit to me. I was the last to go and I had my sack tightly clutched. Then this venerable man in front of me said, "What are you carrying with you?" I replied, "Yes, one of yours gave it to me and said, 'This is your wealth from your life,' and I imagine that it is really my wealth." He lifted the sack and said, "It is not so light, is it?" and looked at me, "People's gold is heavy, Christoph?" "Yes," I said, "I had a lot of it."
"And what did you give to poor people?"
"Poor people?"
"Yes, I was embarrassed. "Now and then," I said, "people probably gave something too."
"Now and then," he said, "when did you give?"
"Now and then."
And suddenly I saw myself, how I had lived, how I had sat in front of these coins every evening, so to speak, and had rearranged them, looked at them, written them down and weighed them. Then he said, "You have wasted the best time with your gold." I became very afraid and thought, maybe I don't even have my gold with me anymore.
"Yes, just carry this sack, just carry your wealth with you," he said, and he told me many mistakes from my life. He stood still for a long time and talked for a long time about what I had done wrong and how all of this had harmed my soul. I saw myself. Yes, people had said all sorts of things to me and said that I had been a stingy man and that I should listen to what people had said about me. Then I saw them, I simply saw them in front of me and heard them. Some cursed me because I was so stingy and because I had cheated them with the wood and the coal. I had to hear all of this and it hurt me. I wanted to say to them, "No, it is not true, I did not cheat you, I was not stingy." But I could not open my mouth.
Every time I heard someone cursing me, it was like a great pain that went through my spiritual body. It hurt my soul to hear that. And then the Venerable said, how do you think people are pleased with you? Do you think that these curses that have been spoken over you are a blessing to you?